How's everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of The Banker Next Door. I am your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. Today, I have a very special guest. I'm really excited to bring on Greg Smith, who is the Executive Director of the Stonier Graduate School of Banking. This is an interview that I have been dying to get to for a little while now because you'll find out in a few minutes, I have a very deep love for Stonier. I've been involved with the program for 10 years now, and just very, very excited about this one. So without holding on any longer, I'm going to bring in Greg Smith. Greg, how are you doing today?
Well, thanks for having me on today, Joe. Great to see you.
Yes, no, thank you. So we're going to talk about the Stonier Graduate School of Banking here today, which is near and dear to my heart. I'm wearing my little Stonier gear here today, if everybody can see that for a second. But so I guess what I'd like to start off with is for anybody, again, who's just not familiar with what Stonier is, could you just give a kind of a brief explanation of what is Stonier?
Absolutely. Happy to. And thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Like Joe, I'm a very proud member of the Stonier community. I happen to use our pens a lot as opposed to wear the clothing. But more seriously, Stonier is a really important part of a bank officer's continuing education. And when I think about our goal at Stonier, it's really to help our students, executives from banks, regulators, even some from our service provider organizations, and help them understand broader aspects of the banking industry, of the financial markets, of regulation, than maybe what they see within their own area. And a very important part of this, which we'll talk about a little bit more later, has been our partnership with the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania, which helps us build out our leadership content. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Perfect. Now, and so the Stonier Graduate School of Banking, it's a graduate school of banking for bank executives, and the school has been around now, I believe, for 89 years. So could you maybe give us a little bit about the history there? I mean, that's, you know, 89 years is a long time for the school to be around.
Absolutely. And it's something we're all very proud of within our program and very much looking forward to celebrating that 90th anniversary when we meet again the year after this. So when you think about Stonier's original founding, it was founded during the Great Depression. And this was a period of time where the banking industry, certainly very fragmented, or in most of the United States, was still under unit banking rules. And the Stonier Graduate School of Business, was really founded to help senior executives at banks broaden their perspective. And particularly at the time of the Great Depression, when banks, banking markets, financial markets were not trusted by the American public, it was a way to help build the skill sets, build the trust, and get our bankers nationwide back out into the markets with a slightly different perspective. So it was really important to get started there. So just to give you just some geographic history, the program was started by Dr. Harold Stonier, people who call him Hal Stonier, and took place at Rutgers. And over the years, it moved a couple of times to University of Delaware and Georgetown University. And then we moved to our current and long-term home. In the mid-2000s, we moved to the University of Pennsylvania and shortly thereafter partnered with Wharton. But again, the whole founding, the whole origination of this program, its roots were in the Great Depression and with the goal of building more trust and more skills within the banking industry.
No, that's fantastic. And yeah, it's kind of interesting. When I first got involved with Stonier, all I've actually known is the University of Pennsylvania. I mean, I got involved with Stonier back in 2012 when I first went to the program. But it was very interesting throughout my career. I mean, I've worked with individuals that went through the program back in the 80s and the 90s and were at Georgetown. And then I think it went from Georgetown to, did it go from Georgetown to Delaware? Is that where it did it go, or to Rutgers?
I believe it was Rutgers, Delaware, Georgetown, Penn.
Okay, all right. So it would have been, yeah, it would have been Rutgers then. It would have been, I think I had a couple people I knew that went to Rutgers and then went to Georgetown. And then obviously we ended up at Penn there. But yeah, no, just a great history. One thing I'd just like to note is that, you know, I think all the people I've worked with in my career, they've always spoken very well. They've always spoken very glowingly of the program. You know, everyone that I know has always enjoyed their time at Stony Air. We'll talk about a little bit more in depth in terms of like the logistics of the program, the length of time and all that kind of stuff. We'll get into that in a minute, because that has changed a little bit over the years as the program has moved to different locations. But let's say, if we can for a second here, could we get in to the partnership with the Wharton School of Business? And could you maybe just talk a little bit about how do you feel? I mean, has that partnership been very beneficial to the school?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So at a high level, and then I'll talk about some of the particulars. When the American Bankers Association, the sponsor of Stony Air, partnered with Wharton in about 10 to 12 years ago, the real vision was to bring in more leadership curriculum. And when you think about what some of those great business schools, whether it's Wharton, Columbia, Chicago, what they do, part of what they do is they focus on leadership and how do we make our students find their own leadership skills, find their own leadership sweet spot, and become more effective leaders. That was something that we felt was missing in our curriculum prior to the partnership with Wharton. At least it deserved more emphasis than it had. And the partnership with Wharton has been fantastic. I have a curriculum director partner from Wharton. We do work on curriculum, certain aspects of curriculum together. But the thing that is just amazing with Wharton, when we partner with them for our different cohorts going through the program, you are getting some of the best management professors, mm-hmm. not just in the US, globally. And what's even more amazing, when you get to that level, you're getting great research, you're getting unique knowledge, and they're all really good in the classroom too. So you're not dealing with that issue of, oh, they got great stuff, but they're not good in the classroom. They're compelling lecturers. When I have free time in my schedule at Stony Air, I'll often go to some of the Wharton professors and classes. And what we'll do when we're scheming out our curriculum year to year, we'll look at what the offerings were last year. We'll look at who scored the best, but we'll also look at, gee, what's the right type of content for this year, given changes in the economy, given changes in workplace perception in terms of trust in the workplace. And we continue to work on those types of dynamics. Certainly during COVID, we have a lot of content around remote work. And it's not that we don't have it now, but maybe not quite as much as we had in 2020 and 2021. But Wharton has been a valuable partner.
No, and I would just like to add on that, Greg, with, you know, my experience having been there, gone through the program, and then just being on the other side, being kind of more on the teaching or faculty side, if you will, for the last 10 years. The teachers there at Wharton are just incredible. And to Greg's point, when they prepare and they present to the students there, it's not your normal, I'm just putting I'm putting the lecture together for the class, or I'm going to talk about this, whatever. These are presentations that are given to the, you know, they're going over to the Philadelphia Federal Reserve and they're presenting to the Philly Fed president. You know, they're presenting to economic advisors for the White House. I mean, they're really giving this information to very, very high level people. So their presentation skills, like Greg said, are just absolutely fantastic. They're great storytellers. They know how to present things in an absolutely incredible visual manner. And you really see the difference. Like, I mean, just between kind of what they're doing versus, say, you know, what your typical college, you know, professor would put together, I would say, for a typical, you know, business class or whatever. So you really are. And I'm just trying to stress that they're on a different level. They're on a different level. And that value really comes through. So in the experience in the classroom. So So great stuff there. And then, what are some of the details about the program? Like, what can you tell us just about like the length, requirements, like expectations for any students out there that may be thinking about attending?
Sure. And before I tackle that, let me just touch on the rest of the faculty and curriculum real quickly.
Sure.
And obviously you talked about Wharton, but over half of our curriculum is really focused on the banking industry. And we have experienced bankers, regulators, sometimes consultants, academics who teach certain types of classes. As an example, I first started with this program a dozen years ago teaching capital planning. Now, how did I wind up teaching capital planning? Well, I'd worked on Wall Street for quite a while where I did capital structure for banks. And I was also CFO of a regional bank going through the financial crisis and spent a lot of time on capital planning. So we have people who are experienced in particular areas teaching certain types of classes. Mm-hmm. Some of them are very applied, capital planning, financial analysis. Some of them are going to be specialized, maybe in talent management, succession planning, those types of things. But Wharton's an important part of our curriculum, an important part of our faculty. We've got a lot of other really good teachers in our program as well. Now, to flip over to the logistics of the program, we think about our program as being a three-year program, but this is an executive education program. Even if it spans 3 years, we are on campus at the University of Pennsylvania for about 10 days in early June, 3 years in succession. So you would think about being on campus, let's just say June of 2024. You then have a couple of assignments that you work on. We call them intersession assignments. Between the June 24 session and the June 25 session, you submit them and they come back graded. Sometimes there's a little bit of follow-up, not that often. Then between your second and third year, you're actually working on what we call our capstone, which is, think about it as a project that as a senior member of your bank, you're going to be making a presentation about it to your board of directors. You are assigned an advisor. Joe is one of our best advisors and somebody who's been at it for a few years and who I lean on a great deal in that process. And you're working on this project for your company, an analysis for your company. You have a sponsor from your company, and then you finalize that project prior to the third year that we're on campus. At the end of the third year, so that would be June 24, June 25, third year being June 26. You will graduate after discussing your capstone and taking the third year curriculum. You will graduate with a Stonier certificate and a Wharton leadership certificate. In terms of some of the other logistics, we are, in terms of classrooms, on campus at the University of Pennsylvania. We do need you pretty much to be in Philadelphia for those on-campus periods. In terms of lodging, we actually lodge in hotels, which students have compared very favorably to having to live in college dorms in the summer, and they're obviously not often air conditioned. It's really gotten much higher marks. So in terms of the overall program, that would be the time commitment. And we like people when they're on campus to be very focused on learning and be focused on their classes. We also all understand that people have full-time jobs, and sometimes your customers demand your attention regardless of where you are. We encourage that not to take too much of your time, but we understand how that works.
Yeah, no, thank you so much, Greg. I think that was fantastic for just laying out what happens there. So, I mean, if somebody's going to make or wants to do the Stonier program, just remember you got to be on campus for, say, a week, you know, for 7-8 days. every year, and it's always like first week, second week of June each year. You're going to do it for 3 years, and then in between, all the work that you're doing is back home. You're back at your office. You're back at home. You're doing all those projects, and then submitting them to your capstone advisor or to other teachers there, and then they're basically just going to grade them and get them back to you. So again, very doable, very manageable for working professionals. You know, anybody who's in the banking business is thinking about doing this. I would add one other thing, Greg, and I believe this is still true. If somebody has an MBA, they're still able to qualify for what's called the accelerated program, correct?
Yeah, so thanks for bringing that up. And if I just think generally about qualifications for Stonier, and I will touch on that as well. Generally, we expect our applicants or our students to have at least 5 years of experience in the banking industry, maybe some progression of roles. And if that's not quite the path you lay out, let us know why it would make sense. We are all ears. We listen very much to your situation. In terms of the accelerated program, which is what Joe was just asking about, if you're somebody who has an MBA, if you're somebody who has been around in a financial role in an organization for a couple of decades, if maybe you don't have an MBA, but you have a doctorate in finance, the accelerated program is something that you should look into. Now, with that, you essentially start as a second year student as opposed to a third year student. Our first year curriculum is a lot about building the analytical arrows in your quiver so that you can understand and build out financial analyses of a bank. If that's stuff that's already second nature to you, you shouldn't have to repeat that. So MBAs, doctorates or masters of finance, those types of people, the accelerated program makes a lot of sense. And I know I often look at some of the applications for the accelerated program, and there have been times where we've looked at those and people have been in a role that makes sense. They already understand how to calculate ROA and how to think about the multiple of a stock. And we've absolutely signed off on them being part of the accelerated program. It's a great alternative. It's a two-year time commitment. We have had a couple of students say, you know what, I know I've started accelerated, but I'd like to be a first year, so because I want that three-year cohort that I go through with as well. But accelerated's a great option for people who already have those financial analytical skill sets.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, Greg. I've had a few people, coworkers and the like, that have asked me about, you know, hey, you know, I've already got certain qualifications or educational level, whatnot. Should I just do the accelerated? And I tell them, I said, look, you could probably certainly qualify for the accelerated, but what I also tell them is, I said, don't undercut the networking aspect of Stonier. You know, Stonier is, I think the networking is such a huge part of the experience. You know, you're going there and the 3 years that you're there, you know, you really do build these fantastic relationships with all these different people in your classes, and you're going to meet, again, so many teachers, you're going to meet so many people from different walks of life in the banking business from all over the country. And that's just, I try to stress that to people. Like, again, you're certainly going there to learn as much as you can. And the classroom experience is great, but just don't forget or don't undersell the networking aspect of this. It's a huge, huge part of the whole Stonier experience.
I can't agree with you more. Obviously, my comments today have thus far been focused on content and focused on logistics. But I go back to when I was CFO of a $65 billion regional bank holding company, and going through the financial crisis, there were times where we were like, where the heck did that come and how the heck are we going to figure that one out? And a couple of my colleagues had gone to Stonier in the late 80s and early 90s. And the things that we were dealing with, everybody was dealing with some version of those. And I was incredibly impressed by the effectiveness of that Stonier alumni network, because my colleagues would say, I don't know, let me go call Joe at First National, not in our market because you can't do that sort of thing. And he'd go call Joe at First National. He'd come back and say, yeah, they're struggling with, but here's the things they're thinking about. And then our other Stone Year grad would have talked to somebody from another bank and said, hey, here are the things that this other bank's thinking about. The value of the Stone Year network, not when you're on campus, that's when it's the fun part, but through the years of your career, is really, really impressed me a lot. It's a big, important part of our program and the outcome.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And okay, so to keep us moving along here, could you give us a little bit about, very quickly, about maybe some of the demographics of the class? I mean, what does a typical class look like? Like how big is a typical class? You know, what are some of your thoughts on that?
So when we're on campus, we tend to be anywhere between 600 and 700 students, and that is all 3 years combined. I think of each entering class as being 220, maybe up to 250. But when you think about the demographics of the class when we're on campus, we have over the years seen a growth in the percentage of the program where the attendees are women. That number is up to kind of the mid to high 30s, and I'm hoping we go right past 40%. In terms of geography, we tend to be looking at a little bit of a skew toward the Northeast. But when I was looking at the largest contingents of students, well, Utah's really high on our list too. So we have a national footprint. And although there is a concentration in the Northeast, the footprint of the student body has actually been becoming a little bit, it has been becoming more diverse than it had been. The only other thing I would just point out is we have, I'm going to say it's roughly 20% of our students tend to come from regulatory agencies. And that generally covers all the federal, national organizations, a number, if not all, of the regional Federal Reserve banks. And there's always a few state banking regulators as well. One of the things I love about the program, you go back to those comments about the networking. Mm-hmm. I love watching the bankers and the regulators come together. I know when we have our couple of simulations, we have some online simulations where everybody gets divided into teams. And it's really fun to work with bankers and regulators coming together to build a bank, computer bank, of course, that they are in competition with others and everybody wants to win. It's really fun to watch that mind share and personal bonding develop.
Nice. Perfect. I guess as we're coming down to the end here, just a couple more questions. You're the executive director, but could you tell us a little bit more, like what is your role entail there at Stone Year?
So as curriculum director, so I really focus on curriculum and content. So my role, focus on that content, be as current as possible, and at the same time, walk that fine line of being current, but not faddish. So there are certain times where we kind of come to the conclusion there's something here for a potential curriculum, but we don't, we have to come up with what the sustainable part of that is, as opposed to, oh, this is the fad. This is what was in the Wall Street Journal for the last month. So it's developing and keeping that current, that content current, very involved with faculty recruitment, making sure we have the best, making sure we have faculty that is liked by the students, but also creates a great and trusting learning environment for the students. I am also very much involved with the ABA team when it comes to our program delivery and how we do that. And certainly if any of you join us on campus, you'll see me, whether you're a first year with capital planning, a second year working on some of those simulations, And at third years, you always see me at graduation.
Nice. Perfect. Thank you. So I want to do two last things before we wrap up here, Greg. The one thing is I want to share a couple trinkets that I've gotten from Stonier along the way, but I always, everyone that I interview, I like to do a little bit of, I guess, like pop culture things here on the podcast. So I love to talk about business books. I love to talk about business related movies, like business related movies like The Big Short that have been very influential on the world of business over the years. So in that vein, do you have like a favorite business book or maybe banking related book that you have liked or followed over the years? And do you have a favorite business related movie?
Absolutely. So let's talk book first, because that's where my answer is going to be unconventional. For a book where there are incredibly important business lessons, my favorite is actually a history book. Doris Kearns Goodwin wrote a book called Team of Rivals. And it was basically how Lincoln was able to get all these people who thought they were better than him and should have had his job. He got all these people to work together as a team going forward, building common purpose, building vision, and listening to them. The management lessons that come from that book, I think, are unequaled. It's history, but there's great business lessons in there. Movies. So it's funny you mentioned The Big Short. I teach classes about financial markets and financial institutions in Wisconsin. And there is no movie that is a better example for me to help my students understand the financial crisis than Calling on the Big Short. That is a movie where, hey, how often do you get Selena Gomez explaining how a hedge fund operates? How often would you ever get Margot Robbie talking about a subprime mortgage? It resonates with most of my students are 20, 21. It resonates with them, even though the movie's getting a little old. So I do find it, even with my own kids, as they got older, I found that a great way to build a common knowledge base. So that is, frankly, my favorite business movie. And also, look, I also love, it's a little bit more of a documentary, Too Big to Fail, based on Sorkin's book.
Absolutely. And no, and I love those. Those are great. Dolores Kearns, I love some of her books. She wrote a great book called Leadership, which was based on four presidents, which was an absolutely outstanding book. If anybody has a chance to pick that up. Team of Rivals, I love it, Greg. That is an absolutely great recommendation. I've read that book also, and it's just an absolutely stellar book. And I'll have to talk more about that one in a later podcast episode. So you gave me a great idea for another episode there. And then the magic, you know what? I think the magic of The Big Short is that it takes a very complex subject, and they were able to simplify it and put it on a level that anyone could understand it. And I think that is the true magic of that movie. And I've said that many times, and you're right. It is an absolutely great movie, and I love that one. So fantastic. So really quickly, I just wanted to share a couple of the neat little trinkets I've gotten over the years from Stonier. So I got this upon graduation. I got this great little kind of keychain thing here. It was a little piece of almost like granite with the Stonier name logged into it. They gave us these great little red Stonier alumni pins, which were fantastic. I got this great present on the 85th. I know it's kind of the glare here, but this is the 85th year of Stonier. I got this great little copper mug that was fantastic. And finally, I'm going to very carefully take this out and show it to everybody real quick. So when you graduate from Stonier, this is what you get. And I went a little bit fancier. I went with the Wharton diploma, the two-frame Wharton diploma. But you get the diploma, and then you get the Wharton leadership certificate, exactly as Greg said. So I just thought that that was I thought that that was cool, and I would just show that to everybody real quick. But that's it. So that's the kind of the Stonier experience. But I was just, again, you know, I have so much love for Stonier. I love spreading the Stonier word to people, in the industry as much as I can. So I was just really, really appreciative of you coming on today, Greg, just to share all this with everybody. And I'm hoping, sometime in the future, we'll be able to get you back on again soon, and we can maybe talk about some other topics, some other things that might be near and dear to your heart. And again, I'm really looking forward to seeing you real soon. We've got our annual June Stonier coming up on June 6th. So it's coming up real fast, and can't wait to be back on campus and see you and everybody else from the team there, as well as all of our great students every year.
Yeah, it's exciting that it's coming up. I look forward to it every year.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much, Greg. And last thing, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, Greg, how best would they do that?
You know, probably the easiest way, so it just doesn't get lost trying to get through a difficult channel. Easiest thing to do is email me. I'll give you an email address at my Wisconsin school. It's just smit2244@uwm.edu, and that'll get to me.
Fantastic! Oh, absolutely great. Again, thank you so much, Greg, for coming on today, and we will hope to see you again real soon.
Thanks, Joe. Happy to be here.
Great today. All right, everyone. Well, that was Greg Smith, the executive director of the Stonier Graduate School of Banking. Again, I hope you got a real taste and a real feel for what Stonier is and the experience. And if you're thinking about attending the school, I will put a link to the Stonier program in the description below, so you can check that out. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to check us out on Rumble, YouTube, and all major podcast platforms. And I will be back again real soon with another episode. Thank you so much.